And PKIDS, which is parents of kids with infectious diseases. Trish and Don?
Hi, everybody. I'm Trish. This is Don. I want to point out that I have gray hair, so if there are some of you like me, maybe... Well, I have gray hair because I didn't color my hair last week, so... But if there are some of you in my generation and you're feeling trepidatious about social media, I did too, and I had younger people at PKIDS dragging me along a couple of years ago, and I was kicking and screaming, and I'm really glad I did, and it's not as hard as I thought it would be. It's actually very easy, and it's worth the time. So I thought I'd just throw that out there first. And given this wonderful presentation that Heidi and Meredith did, I realized that we probably should have switched, because what we're talking about today are the 15 steps to be successful at social media. And so we're sort of like the groundwork, and then they were the level 2 or 14 or wherever that level would be. So let's see. We're doing arrows? Okay. We thought we should throw some tough love at you because, or your supervisors at the health departments, because we hear the health departments are just dragging their feet. So if you are not, or your health department is not involved in social media, if they're too afraid of it, it's just like 20 years ago saying, we're not going to put out any press releases, talk to any radio stations, or do TV. So I don't know how you would get the message out if you weren't using traditional media 20 years ago, but, and traditional media is still in use, but over 50% of the audience, your population, is getting their information online from social media. So you absolutely have to do it, and that's our tough love speech. Okay, so these are 15 steps. We did not number them because some of them you're going to do simultaneously, and you might want to change the order a little bit. And they're not written in stone, for crying out loud. But these are the basics. If you do these, you will be successful. Plus, you can call us later, and we'll help you. Okay, so you have to do the research. And the research is go find Facebook.com, find Twitter.com, find YouTube.com, and just look around. You know how to search because you've been searching on search engines. So search for maybe some health departments, but also search for, or coalitions, of course. I always harp on health departments because they're just dragging their feet, and I'm so. But search for some health departments to see what they look like on those social media sites. Also, search for for-profit like Nestle and who else? Who's like
Target, Coke? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Butterfinger. Toyota. I say Butterfinger. They did a fabulous thing a few years ago on social media, but. Yeah, the for-profit, and see what they're doing. Because don't be afraid of using their, because they have a lot of money to put into marketing, so they get whiz-bang at it. Get some great ideas from the for-profit companies and apply it to your work in public health. So go visit the sites, just see what they're doing. Also, call. If you see two or three public health sites that you really like what you see, call them and find out who did their social media stuff and just talk to them and say, how did you get started? What were your challenges? What did you do that was really successful? And if you had to go back, what would you change? That'll help you learn from their mistakes. Okay. We should have said listen / read because, you know, it's a computer. But so the next step that you do, after you've done kind of that surface research, and, of course, every step has multiple layers. You can go as deep as you want. But you need to start the Twitter accounts and the Facebook accounts that you saw that you kind of liked, you need to go back and spend about a month reading and listening and just looking at what they're posting, what are they talking about, and how are they saying it. Read their blogs and also read the comments that people put on the blogs or the comments that they put on Facebook status updates. And if you don't know what a Facebook status update is, don't worry. Once you get to this point, you will. Or you can call us. Okay, so you've done this, okay, I want to make sure I didn't skip a step here. You're going to create a plan now. You've kind of exposed yourself to the social media sites, what other people are doing, you've heard from them, you've talked to them, you've been listening and reading for a month, so now you want to create a plan. Each organization is going to have its own goals. We just put in a few that may ring a bell with you all. If you want to communicate quickly, social media is a great way to do that. Also, the younger generation is 20s, 30s. They're used to communicating and being heard and being listened to and being talked back to. So it's they're used to dialogue. They are not used to just people throwing information at them and being stonewalled when they have questions. I know, talk back to you, right? So we have to learn how to do that as well. It's not, you know, children shall be seen and not heard. People of my generation probably, or maybe my mother's, I don't know, grew up that way. But that's definitely not how it is. It has to be two-way communication. And, of course, your goals are whatever your goals are. Once you've identified your goals, then you're going to create your strategies. You're going to decide, and we recommend that you only start with one or two social media platforms. You're going to get overwhelmed. At PKids a few years ago, we just decided, let's try everything and see what happens. Well, I don't recommend you do that. It was fun and really time-consuming and totally ineffective. So just choose one or two to get started, because otherwise you will be overwhelmed. Either identify somebody on staff, don't go hire somebody right away, identify somebody on staff who is willing to step into social media, or like if you're doing Twitter and Facebook, one person can do Twitter, the other can do Facebook. You're going to need some sort of policy so that you know if somebody just is super rude to you on your Twitter or Facebook account, how are you going to respond to that? You need that sort of stuff in place. And we've listed out some things, and we have documents. Don will tell you all about that. So you don't have to try to figure out how to do this. We have things that will help you with each step. This is my least favorite part, evaluation, because I just find it incredibly boring. But you do have to evaluate. And social media, oh, thanks. Social media is very fluid. So when you first get started and you don't really know what's, you know, happening, you need to have your evaluation steps in place and do it every month. And you'll be adapting probably every month. And then after about 6 months, evaluate every 3 months. And just figure you're probably going to have to visit your plan every 3 or 4 months and adapt, because social media is just that way. It's irritating, but it's true. Okay, search engine optimization. Okay. Thank you. You are. I'm sorry about that. I just keep talking and not forwarding. Okay, search engine optimization. We wanted this in here because mostly you do it for your website. And search engine optimization, it's actually very laid out. You do this to the header of the page. You do this to the title of the page. It's very, your web design people will know what you're talking about if you say, do we have search engine optimization? And if they say no, then you say do it, because you really need it done. When people are getting on Google and they're searching for, like, you're in Idaho, they say vaccines, kids, Idaho, you want your website and your blog. And the reason I'm harping on the website is all of your stuff should be linked. Your social media sites should all be linked to your website. Your website should be linked to your social media sites. So if you increase your page rank for your website and your blog, that'll increase visitation to all of your sites. So if somebody puts in Vaccination Kids Idaho, if you are optimized, your website and blog will appear like on the first page of the search results, which is what you want. So search engine optimization is really important. We actually did it ourselves in-house at PKids. We just dedicated about a week, and we slogged through, because we have a ton of pages. So if your website is not real deep, it won't take you very long, and it doesn't take very long anyway, but we have like hundreds of pages, I think. So it took a little while, but it wasn't hard. It was just repetitive, boring. Okay, now you've done all that, and now it's time to create your accounts. It's really important. Make sure your logo, all of your branding, your colors, the way you've laid out your page, like on your website, make sure you duplicate that on your Twitter and Facebook page, so someone can just land there and glance at it, and they know exactly who you are. Keep your branding up and keep it consistent. It's really important. And when you're creating your accounts, don't worry about, I have 5 followers, or I have, you know, 20, because it doesn't matter. Most organizations are going to start slow unless they have a lot of money for advertising. If you have money for advertising, that's great. Throw it in there, and you'll have thousands of Facebook fans or likers, and you know, you can advertise your blog, but if not, you're going to start slow, everybody does. And you know, if you're kind of new to it, it's not a bad thing to start slow, because you don't want to be making the mistakes we all make at the beginning in front of 10,000 people, better 20. Oh, and as you're So after you create your sites, go around and start those. When you're doing your research and you found other Facebook and blogs and health department coalition sites that you like, start participating now. So, like, go to their Twitter and retweet tweets that you like or comment on somebody else's blog. Start participating in the online community. It will benefit you in the long run. It'll increase folks' awareness of your organization. And again, make sure you link website to all the social media platforms. And then, content. We get this question a lot on our webinars. Okay, so we started now, you know, you're probably going to be doing something on social media every day, and they're kind of petrified about what are we going to talk about every day. Well, I don't know about you all, but I get a lot of news that streams into my email every day. So you have listers. Every Child by Two, of course, has their news thing that goes out. A lot of different organizations CDC, of course, has tons of news coming out. You can create the Google alerts that everybody talks about, don't worry about if you don't know how to do what I'm saying, because we can help you with that part. It's more the steps that you just need to be aware of. Also, don't ignore the information on your website that you've spent a lot of time producing. Maybe you wrote something a year ago. It's still valid. Tweet it. Use it as a Facebook status update. It's good information. Don't ignore it. Don't keep reinventing the wheel. Lord knows we go to that well plenty of times. Also, I know immunizations can be a very serious subject, but, you know, not all the time. So don't be afraid of making it a little lighthearted. People like to have a break from the seriousness of immunization. So embrace humor. And now Don's going to take over.
Okay. Thank you.
You don't need me to do this, but I know you'll keep it up.
Got it. Okay, so we're about halfway through our tips, so that's always a good place to be. So our next tip is to communicate regularly. It is something in social media that you really want to be consistent. You want to find a schedule that works for your organization and stick to it. That can be daily, it could be weekly. It depends on not only the social media channel, but what also genuinely works for your organization. Because if you're setting a bar of trying to update daily and you can't do it, you're going to fail, and that'll be hard, and you'll feel guilty, and it's just not a good thing. you know, people are very eager to get your content. They want to hear from you at certain times of day. So something that we use a lot is Hootsuite. Heidi and Meredith also talked about this. Hootsuite is an amazing tool. It's free or very low cost. It's about $5 a month. We recommend the pro version, which is $5 a month. You get a lot more depth of analysis and a lot more tools. And so it's great. You can schedule out tweets to go out throughout the day. So what you can do is in the morning, come in, read your Google alerts, and then schedule out tweets to have engagement throughout the day. So you're reaching people when they're checking in on Facebook or Twitter. And then also another great way just to communicate regularly is to cross-train everybody. Sure, you kind of want to designate people as like your Facebook or your Twitter expert, but the more you train people, the better you're going to have coverage when your Facebook expert is out on maternity leave or just on vacation or sick that day. So the more people you have on your team, the better. And sharing this love and the excitement of being in social media is always a good thing. Finding your voice. So social media is definitely more conversational. It's people who are engaging in a very social way. You know, thinking about going to a cocktail party, it's something that people describe social media as. So it's very conversational, but as health providers and health experts, we do need to be professional. So there's a good balance of being fun and professional and informative, and it's something you can find for your organization. Don't be afraid of speaking and responding to individuals. It's a two-way street. Social media is a conversation. Always remember that. If you need to write it on a sticky and put it on your computer, remind yourself that it is social media is a conversation. I think it's a good thing to remind ourselves not to be too stiff or too formal in our language. Be responsive. We cannot be an ivory tower on social media. You know, if people are commenting on your blog or in your Twitter feed, you need to talk to them. If they're asking questions about vaccines, it's a great opportunity to give them your knowledge and your information, even if they're being negative, even if Jenny McCarthy finds your account. You know, it's okay to communicate with those people, and it's expected. You know, it's a very two-way street. You have to have a conversation. That one thing that we did, so we have this flow chart on our slide, and one thing at PKids that we did before we even started social media is to really think through all of the wonderful things and all the bad things that can happen on social media. So all the wonderful things. So if you get questions about where's your latest flu clinic, how do I know if my kid has this vaccine, all the way into very negative about, you know, vaccines cause autism, those sort of things. So we have answers, and you have canned answers, and you know how it gets escalated. Because if an issue becomes more prominent and hotter on your Facebook account, sometimes you want your director to step in and say, hey, this is the director of the organization. I just wanted to let you know that this is what our official stance is. And you can do that through all your social media accounts. Experimentation is something I really believe in social media. And I think as public health people and scientists at heart, that it's something that we can all do on social media. It's a very free channel. And there's very low cost to it other than your time, and your time is incredibly valuable. But it's a great place to test out messages. It's, you know, something to try out new ways of communicating. You can test logos. You can do some different things that before were very expensive with market research and trying out things and then having an ad campaign that just didn't work. But now through social media, since it's so much less expensive, you can try out new things. And also, don't be afraid to stop things that don't work. With experimentation, there's always failure, and you know it's about making it better. So if there's something that isn't working, if you get into it and you're in 6 months later using Twitter and you hate Twitter, and you hate going on there and writing those 140 character updates, you know, just stop. Just, you know, send out a last tweet and stop using that tool. It's okay. Transparency is huge in social media. It is because you're social and you're asking people to be your friend and to follow you. It's a very different relationship than somebody just coming to your website and seeing what you have to say. So don't hide behind your organization. Don't acknowledge errors. If you make a mistake, it's okay. All of us really have in social media, every single one of us has, and it's about how you deal with it. It's how successful you are to get over that. So at PKids, the way that we really deal with transparency is to have a page on our website and on our blog that really describes who we are. It's something that's really important that we want people to know what we stand for, how we get funded, what the work that we do, and that will help inform them about how to interact with us and all sorts of different levels of interaction. So, you know, so we have our contact information. That's also key, is to give people a real name. So if they want to talk to somebody at your organization and to find out about a Facebook update that they can. Graphics. So the internet is widely a visual medium. There's definitely some audio with video, but you know, the more that you can use images, and with the vaccine world, we have such impactful and powerful images to use. You know, and there's everything from vaccine administration to happy babies and kids being healthy on the other side, too. But, you know, the more that you can use graphics, the better it is for your Facebook updates. If your Facebook updates have images, then they bubble up higher in people's news streams. So the more that you can use images and video is great. One great way to find free images that are beautiful from all around the world is using Creative Commons, and that's creativecommons.org. And so you can go in there and find images for your blogs and for your Facebook pages to use for free, and they're beautiful photographs from photographers all over the world. ROI. So we all spend a lot of time on social media, you know, and this is a big part of everything that we're getting questioned on. If somebody comes to you, if you're going to your leaders and saying, I really want to get into social media, this is the first thing they're going to ask. They're like, okay, how much does it cost? Why are we doing this? We're having budget cuts. We can't figure out how to even administer vaccines. Why do we think we need to be on social media? So I think the more that you can measure and keep up with your evaluation, as Trish talked about, and in the end, really measure your ROI is really important. So measuring your return on investment, it's really important to kind of look at patterns and watch for ways that you can improve throughout your process. And there's a great link that we have on here. So Frog Loop, which is Care2, which is a nonprofit organization, has created a worksheet where you actually, it's an Excel worksheet, and you actually put in numbers and stats about your followership, how much it costs for you to have a staff position, and it actually like cranks out a hardcore number, a hardcore ROI number. So this is a great link, and this will be on the presentation, which is online after the conference. And also social media, it's hard to line up dollar to dollar. It's not you don't have a cost associated with engaging in Facebook other than your time. So there's some things you kind of want to think about to measure beyond investment is maybe return on engagement. So how many parents did you talk to and you asked that when they asked questions about a vaccine that they decided to vaccinate their child? You can track that. And just one person, if you've changed somebody's opinion, that has incredible value. So that's something to write down, measure, get their email address, see if your boss can talk to them and talk about how important that engagement was for them. And also you could do return on trust, especially in vaccines with social media, that we are able to become trust agents for these parents. We're able to become the information source to ask questions, to calm their fears, to understand the latest vaccine shortage or new crazy thing they heard from their crunchy green mom down the street. And, you know, that's incredibly valuable. So the more that we can build trust and be an information source for parents on social media, where they're already looking at their cousin's cute baby pictures, you know, that's the better that we can do, and the more valuable your work will be. So that's a lot of tips. 15 tips is a lot to remember, and it's a lot daunting, and, you know, it can be overwhelming, especially that we're on the third day of the conference today. We've all learned a lot. And so what we have at PKIDS is, thank you, the CME, so it's the Communications Made Easy program. And this is an amazing resource. It was funded by the CDC, so we're very thankful for that. And it's free for all of you to use, because that's what we need, is that all of vaccine educators and people around the country are able to use social media in an impactful way to increase vaccination rates. So what we really do in this program is take the guesswork out of this. There's incredible in-depth, step-by-step instructions on how to use all of these tools. And we also have webinars, not only on just step-by-step on how to set up a Facebook page, if that's how you like to learn as visually, but also we have gurus and experts from all over the country come on and do presentations. So we still have a couple more presentations left this year. We'll be wrapping up the summer. We're thinking about continuing it on. We're kind of looking at that and evaluating that. But it's a great resource. Really hope that you come by and check it out. It's pkids.org/CME. So it's Communications Made Easy. That's a hard one to say. So, you know, I really hope that you are getting engaged, and if you ever have any questions, PKIDS is always here. And we're here to Skype with you and email and talk, and however you want to communicate, you can find us. So thank you so much, and we're open for questions.
Thank you, Dawn. And as Dawn did mention, all of these presentations will eventually be posted online. So if you didn't get all those 15 steps down, Eddie, if you'd turn on the mics, thank you, at the table. And we encourage you to stay after if you have more questions, because we are close to the official close. But you have 2 hours now before you have to head to the next workshop. If you come up to the center microphone, address a question specifically to one of our presenters or to the panel as a whole.
If nobody has a question, I just want to add that all those webinars and how-to documents and the network and everything, that's going to stay online after the funding is gone. So when Dawn was saying she wasn't sure if we're going to keep it up, she meant like new webinars.
New, yeah.
And yeah. So all that stuff will be there forever.
And ever.
Yeah.
Great information, ladies. My question, I'm a local health department coordinator, and I've been trying to get these things up and running. For example, I have a Facebook page that is as a person versus now as a like page or whatever. I've got to redo some things. What is a WordPress site? I didn't understand what that was.
So WordPress is a blog platform, but they have part of it is you can use it to actually develop a website. So you can get templates. There's different levels. But the nice thing about it is it's so low cost. It's very easy to manage. And you update it just like a blog. So it's so easy to use, and it's a good resource. If you don't have the funds to pay somebody to develop a fancy new website, I recommend looking at WordPress. And there's other, I don't know what they are, because we only use WordPress.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Or you can just use it as your blog site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I I want to do some things for our immunization program, but I also co-chair our coalition. Mm-hmm. So then, I would like to probably just keep one, and I would like to have an idea of what you would recommend to be the primary source. Our website for the health department is too, I can't access mm-hmm. it. I don't have rights to get on there. Mm-hmm. So I need to develop something that I can maintain within my own program and coalition. What would you recommend that primary thing be?
Well, WordPress would probably be the simplest.
Yeah.
If that's what you mean. WordPress would probably be the simplest thing for you to start. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, Facebook mm-hmm. and Twitter. Mm-hmm. But WordPress would be a place for you to put items that are mm-hmm. more in depth and staying power.
So that could be like the coalition main page.
Yeah.
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 It's a blog yeah. site, but you can use it sort of as a website, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make it look like a website more than a blog.
And so manage those mm-hmm. 3 years yeah. or so yeah. Yeah. through the
yeah.
suite.
Mm-hmm. And my last question, said something about setting up a flu shot application on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So how do you do these little extra things through Facebook?
So we did pay somebody to do that, but it didn't, I think it was $100, you know. So we paid like a designer that's, knows how to do that. It's Facebook has a specific application that allows you to customize tabs. And that's really what you're doing. If you look at a Facebook fan page, which I recommend you switch to, it's hard, you know, at first, but you're going to be so much happier with it. When you're on that page, then you have tabs, and you can customize like a welcome tab if you're doing something, if you want people to see where clinics are, and then that tab can look exactly like your campaign or whatever your message is, and it's very low cost. There's actually students at the University of Nevada that do it too, so I mean, you can find resources. A lot of people have that mm-hmm. skill.
We have a Facebook mm-hmm. webinar too. On all of our webinars mm-hmm. are recorded, so you can just watch it. That's a very how-to mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm. Right, because I'd like to be able to do maybe like a seasonal thing.
Yeah,
like you said, we
yeah.
use your
cool.
content mm-hmm. and information. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Kathleen. I'm from Maine, and I wondered, you know, for all of you, and maybe for everybody in the room, we're a state immunization program, mm-hmm. and so you're all sort of, you know, a coalition mm-hmm. or a private organization, so I think some of the challenges are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you had any ideas, because we don't have a Facebook page, mm-hmm. I'd like us to have one, but I sort of get the sense that people are afraid that something bad might happen. So, and then it's the state saying
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. a message
yeah.
that
I have
perhaps
okay,
we're
go
uncomfortable
for it.
With.
Yeah. What I like to recommend to start out with for the comfort level is tell them we'll just dedicate one computer that is not networked to the other computers in the office, so that computer, like a laptop or something, will be our social media computer. And, you know, we'll email all of our content information to somebody who will then upload it on that computer. Because I think a lot of times they're afraid we're going to get some sort of virus or hacked mm-hmm. in. And if you just have one computer not networked with the others, that solves that.
And also money talks right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about how this is going to supplement or replace traditional media, mm-hmm. how it's going to supplement or replace other strategies like sending out brochures, anything that you can do cost savings
yeah.
through this.
Mm-hmm.
Your administration is going to be like, okay, let's do it. Because, no, I mean, everybody's having money trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, just one more thing on that. In terms of maintaining a sort of a certain tone on your page, if you're afraid that people are going to come and post negative things, you can update the privacy settings mm-hmm. so that somebody outside your organization or outside of the department can't post on your page. They could comment on your post, mm-hmm. but that keeps the conversation relevant.
Oh, mm-hmm. great. Thank you. Related to that, you guys mentioned that you had a flow sheet mm-hmm. posted, and you also talked about policy templates. Mm-hmm. Where would we find those?
Online, on our pkids.org/CME, Communications Made Easy, you'll find
yeah.
all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great examples.
Mm-hmm. And if I might add one other plug, I happen to work at CDC, and there's a toolkit now on CDC. It's a very easy URL to remember also. It's cdc.gov/social media, and there is a 36-page downloadable PDF mm-hmm. with a toolkit that gives the guidelines that CDC has posted for the various platforms that could help you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great insight on the social media intern. Never thought of that. Definitely going to use that. I'm going to go back. A couple of two different questions. One was, you know, I'm wondering, did you guys sync your Facebook and Twitter account, or you were tweeting separately and on Facebook separately?
Yeah.
Ours is synced. Well, we have everything on Hootsuite, but they don't post at the same time. So we had that for a brief time period, and it didn't work because people are getting the exact same information, and it's not engaging. So we track everything together on Hootsuite, but they're not synced.
I agree with that. There's different audiences, and people want their information in different ways on Facebook versus Twitter. Twitter is very short and very information-based versus Facebook. They want photos. They want dynamic conversation.
Okay, no, that was good. Because we don't have the resources, so what we did is temporarily we try to limit the content of the Facebook messages within the word limitation for Twitter, and it kind of goes back. So every time you look at a Twitter account, you'll see that it's uploaded from Facebook.
Yeah.
Having set everything up without Hootsuite, or I mean TweetDeck, I mean that's another option. I like Hootsuite better because it tracks more. But once you have a tool like that, it's so time-saving. It makes a huge difference because everything's right there. You can see it all. You can even see when people are interacting on your Facebook page. So I just highly recommend those.
No, definitely. Next question I have is, control issue, right? How did you guys decide who would be the administrators? How do you designate? Because, as you said, it's helpful to cross-train multiple people. I would love some insight on how you guys manage that.
Well, at PKIDS, it actually differed person to person. Like, if we felt that the person was knowledgeable enough in the issues, then they just tweeted or Facebooked. But if they were totally new to what we did, they had to run their stuff by somebody who did know the issues, if that's what you're saying. And as far as the administration goes, that was just technical, so whoever wanted to take on that chore.
Yeah.
And I think for the Real Guys account, there's five of us that are still administrators on the Facebook page. And so we all, when we see something, we can just post it. And I think we spent a lot of time together, so we trust each other. And we know, what our strengths are. And when we see something, there has not been anything that's been, I think, a missed post, and it's been pretty successful working that way.
I think it is, it's trusting your team. Mm-hmm. And it's trusting your team and then realigning when you need to. If you see something that's a little off, then have a conversation about it. That's okay, maintaining that focus on your mission is critical.
Mm-hmm.